Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
What to watch
on Point of View.
Us poor mortals are alone in studio today because Leroy Mark is not here to usher in the weekend, but we'll live. We'll live. Hello, Leroy.
Hello, everybody. I'm ushering it from lovely Cape Town.
You had to go there, but in spirit. He had to say that.
Oh, yes. I'm sitting under the shadow of the mountain.
Stop it already. Stop it. Okay, Leroy, what are we watching? Umjolo, my goodness. The Gone Girl on Netflix.
I creased my brow when I saw this title and I watched it reluctantly and I would do it again.
Really?
You know, so you remember we've had all the Christmas movies that have come from Burnt Onion, you know, How to Ruin Christmas, How to Ruin Christmas Again, How to Ruin the Christmas Wedding. Mm. It was starting to become a little monotonous, especially for this time of year. So this is an interesting lighter take, in my opinion, of that love story narrative that South African audiences have really, really started resonating to, at least what we've seen over the last few years after COVID. And it's a very charming story about a girl who is a wedding planner who is trying to pursue her career and really make a name for herself and the love of her life called Lucky, who in many ways is unlucky. And in the movie, we explore different types of relationships, whether romantic or, you know, platonic. And a lot of it asks of us to really introspect about how far we would go for love. It is an absolutely beautiful story. There's a bit of betrayal. Oh, it's so sweet and lovable, but it really does have all the high notes. I mean, it also stars Ubebi Cele as this formidable matriarch who's got these high tastes. So you also get a bit of that light humor coming in. It is, I think, a very South African movie, and Netflix is doing very well to sort of listen to what South African audiences are really craving, and I think this is a genre that's going to become very quintessentially South African in the next few years. It is already streaming on Netflix.
Okay, so the title also got me, and I wasn't keen. So because you've just said so, I'm going to give it a shot.
Look, there's elements of it that you might find to be a little jarring because, for instance, there's a narration tool that they use that, for me, could have been done without. And I think part of it is to they use a very popular influencer voice on social media in the movie to act as a narrator.
Okay.
And that is a bit disjointed.
Okay.
It should be good, but actually doesn't land as well as I think it could have.
Mm.
So apart from those rookie mistakes that I think, you know, new productions will make, it really is a sweet movie.
Okay. Meet Me Next Christmas.
Very much in line with that right now, right? So we all have these Christmas movies coming out and the narrative is always the same. Boy meets girl, you know, girl meets boy, something happens and they end up together at the end. This is similar, but it stars someone who we haven't seen on our screens for a while, Christina Milian, who plays the role of Layla, who's happily in love with her person. And then she finds herself waiting at an airport because everything seems to happen at an airport these days. And she's trying to get back to her true love, but she meets someone at the airport. And something happens at the airport where they vow to each other that if certain circumstances happen, they will meet together at a particular place. And this is a journey of her trying to go and meet this gentleman that she met at the airport for them to either rekindle this love or to, you know, put together this lovely fairy tale. It's sweet. It's also quite wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it a Christmas movie? It's a Christmas movie.
A Christmas movie in theme, but not in content.
Okay.
So it's Christmassy in that there's definitely, you know, streamers and reindeer and things about. But Christmas just happens to be a time of year that they've marked on the calendar. So it could have been Thanksgiving or Easter or, you know, 4th of July. It's just to mark that they meet a year later.
Hmm. Lovely. I'll also have a look at The Diplomat is back, season 2.
Let me tell you, I had to go and watch the first season again because when we did the recap, it was actually very confusing. There were so many elements that I had forgotten from the original one. And this is something I wanted to chat to you about, that, you know, Tomorrow, for instance, we have Youngins coming back onto our screens on Showmax, which did very well early on in the year. If you remember when we were watching The Crown, I mean, you know, they shot season 4 or 3 and 4 like in November and we had to wait a full year for it to come back. Does this mean we have to always go back and watch the first season when a season comes out? I tried with the first episode. I was like, okay, I need to go all the way back.
Okay, so I'll do the same. So you have to, you felt like you needed to go back.
Yes, because there's so many nuances that are left hanging. I mean, the main plot line you can remember, and they do a very extensive catch up. In fact, it stands almost as a single episode. But there's so many things happening that you really do see that you need to go back at least an episode or two of the last series to, for you to completely catch up.
All right.
They've got the speed and the pace spot on. They have got the MI5 and MI6 and the CIA. All of that is still going on. But you do need to go a step back because you'll be utterly confused. But once you get back into it, you'll be completely blown away.
Okay, fantastic. Gladiator 2.
Who would have thought you would see a brown man sitting in the
Coliseum? You know what I'm saying? And it just looked right.
There are few actors in the world
Denzel, every time
comes to work every single day. I mean, there's no role. Because Gladiator, as you know, is very much all about the fights. It's all about the epic scenes of fighting, and the storyline is almost incidental. What Denzel did, and I saw a bit of this when he played in Apple TV's rendition of Macbeth, and he played Macbeth. He's got it. You can see he's classically trained, so he's able to hit those notes where the language itself doesn't matter so much as the acting, because you're able to see beyond the complication of the language. And he does the same thing here in Gladiator 2. The backstory is somewhat there. You understand where he fits into the whole hierarchy, but he's really, really good he looks at home. I mean, he's got an earring and he looks like this regal gladiator type. I was completely blown away. So Gladiator 2 for me is a must watch. And this is coming from someone who absolutely detests sequels.
All right. Okay. Janice Hanneman, it's that time of the year. There is no way you're going to be here and then there is no Janice Hanneman's rendition or something at the theater. And I mean, it's big bucks. I mean, she throws it all out.
And can I tell you, I'm not a Christmas person, but I'm definitely a panto person. I love me a big pantomime. And I mean, it's Beauty and the Beast. It's a story that's as old as time itself. But she does this wonderful thing about using topic culture. And sort of what I wanted to highlight, that the wonderful thing about a panto is that it does reflect the times we're in. Yes, the story is Beauty and the Beast, but Janice does a wonderful device of using the jokes are topical. You know, back when Nkandla was an issue, you'd find a Nkandla joke. Mm-hmm. When Palapala was an issue, you'd find a Palapala joke. And so you should expect that apart from the dazzling costumes and the big choreography and the musicals, and the noise and the spectacle, you'll also find yourself laughing, as South Africans do very well, at ourselves. So please go. It's on from this Saturday at the Joburg Theatre all the way to the 22nd of December, just in time for Christmas.
Excellent. See you next week, Leroy.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.